Maybe there's some experiences you want to forget, you just know you never will. And that's kind of where mine is. It's the whole situation, for the most part, that revolved around our visa application expiring while we were in Hong Kong, hindering Bob and myself from getting into mainland China. That was the bulk of it. But really, the whole modes of transportation was an experience I'll never forget. Yeah, it's planes and buses and waiting rooms. Let's go through the slides there. Okay, did you have a plane first? Yeah, you had a plane, buses, and waiting rooms. Yeah, double-decker buses. We always tried to get into the top floor of the double-decker bus. It was just a better view. But that's where a lot of the memories that I'm going to take away from this time were created. Right away, we get onto the plane there at the Des Moines Airport. And who sits next to me but somebody that at least the Hibbings knew? Her name is Alicia. And that's the picture of her. She sat right next to me. And we start talking, you know, I'm trying to get to know her a little bit, and it just so turns out that she went to school with Bob's son, Tim Hibbing, and all of a sudden she kind of like, you know, points at Bob, and Bob's like, yeah, I thought we kind of almost knew each other, and sure enough, for a while, this gal went to Stone Brook Community Church, which is a church that we were a part of down there before we started this one. And it's like, wow, okay. And so we're talking with this girl, friends with Tim, had gone to our church for a while. Well, since then, she's gone to California and was doing freelance writing work and has decided not to believe in Christianity anymore, kind of rejected Christ for something that she said was more logical. And that was a form of an Indian religion, a pantheistic animism, where she just believed that we all give and receive energy and just kind of went off on that. And so I was having a hard time finding out how that could be more logical than Christianity. But nonetheless, that's what she had done with her life. And so I got to share with her a little bit, but mostly just encourage her to continue to pursue truth, to seek truth. You have nothing to fear with the truth, you know, and I, you know that Jesus is the truth, and it'll eventually get her to Jesus. And but just really wanted to affirm her in the sense of not drawing conclusions too early in life, which actually comes up again in a different person's life, but nonetheless, that was hers. This was the beginning. Of every mode of transportation we took, we met somebody that had a story that we were able to speak into their lives. The biggest was the bus rides that Bob and I took repeatedly into downtown Hong Kong to go to the Chinese embassy and wait. That's what we did there. You might have thought that we were actually applying for a new visa, but really we were waiting. And so we were on this bus and we were waiting in lines or waiting in the waiting room all the time. But this whole situation, however you would want to look at it, if it's something that God, you know, worked behind the scenes for whatever divine purposes he had, if it was simply the mistake of human beings, that there was an oversight here and, you know, we're the consequence of it. However you want to look at it, we knew that God had a purpose and a plan for our lives. And so we're figuring, well, if the rest of the team is in China, including Darcy, and Bob and I are here in Hong Kong, we've just got to assume that God's got a purpose for us being here. So no matter what we did, we were trying to figure out what or who God wanted us to reach out to. So we talked to Zishan, the Pakistani man. Yeah. Zishan. Talked to a guy from Pakistan. We talked to Nerman, a teenage kid from India. His name is Nerman. He invited us to his birthday party. We talked to, these are on the buses. I think the neatest one is we talked to this gal, Jenny Wong, Asian girl, But she could speak English very fluently. Turns out she's a high school English teacher and goes to China to teach teachers how to teach English. And we just had a great conversation. She seemed very interested in the English camps that we were doing. And Bob was able to pass on to her his last testimony track, the story of his life. He got to pass that on to her. And she was very vivacious, very friendly. So I just got in contact with her yesterday, and she's just very eager to continue a relationship and to find out more about this church that we are a part of. Because there is a sister church of ours, a Great Commission church in Hong Kong. And so I think Jenny Wong was, in many respects, we think she may have been the person that God wanted us to meet. She just knows so many people, so friendly, so strong bilingual. It was amazing. But she wasn't the only person. I mean, in the waiting room, I talked to several girls from Indonesia. Turns out a lot of people in Hong Kong will hire girls from Indonesia to be maids. And so Americans, we ran into a few Americans there. Mr. Gilbert from California, he was trying to buy an earlier number from somebody, you know, because he didn't want to wait all day, so he wanted to pay Hong Kong money, you know. He's like, sorry, buddy. We ran into Victoria. Yeah, Victoria, she's from Latvia, but she lives in Shanghai. We had a great conversation with her. And then this young girl from Germany, she put us to shame. She's sitting there reading this book. And so Bob, you know, he's going to use the tactic of the master of the obvious to get a conversation going. So are you reading a book in English, he says? Well, he wasn't being so obvious because the book was actually in German.
I didn't read it.
Turns out this is an Asian girl, Chinese girl, reading a book in German, begins to talk to us fluently in English. She speaks four languages. And he's like, we're worthless. But on the plane ride on the way back, or on the way to China and on the way back, was also very eye-opening. Bob sat next to a Chinese guy named Ken, that's his English name, who is going to be a freshman at Michigan State University. Very scared, unaware of what's going to happen, how can I make friends? Well, we just so happen to have some friends from back in the day that are running a church and a campus group there at Michigan State. So we were able to say, we'll take care of you. And you already contacted him, yes?
He wrote back.
Yeah.
You wrote back.
You can hold up your mic to be able to communicate. And then I think we have the next slide. Is that Shang Nan? Next. Okay, there's planes. That should have been up with planes. But here we go. I met this girl on the way back. Her name is Shang Nan Dai. And she actually initiated being a Facebook friend to me after I got back. It's like, oh, wow. She's going to CSU. And she's like a junior, but she's going back early so that she can, you know, get a license and buy a car. But she doesn't know where to start with all of that. And all she knows is her Chinese friends. She's never been to an American home. Junior, but she's never been to an American home. Doesn't know what to do. And I go, what college are you going to? CSU. Fort Collins, no problem. We got friends in Fort Collins. Turns out that some of us who know Pat Sokol, he's actually leading The Rock at Fort Collins now. So I've already contacted him, and he said, we'll take care of her. So, you know, every step of the way, there was a life that God had put in our path to touch. And I think I'll never forget how God did that. And what it really brought home to me is that I'm not just a witness when I'm on a mission trip and I'm on a plane or a bus. I'm supposed to be a witness everywhere I go, every life I meet, every opportunity I've got. That's a time and a place that God has arranged for me to reach out and touch a life. And so I just really felt like the disciples in Acts, where everywhere they went, the gospel was on their lips. And Bob and I, we were trying to share the gospel with everybody that God put in our path. It was a neat experience.
All right. The question is what is one experience that I don't want to forget? And while we were in Hong Kong, we did two camps. The first camp was in China, and that one was really easy. you know, the students, they were college students, they were really interested in speaking English and learning English. But then in Hong Kong, we had middle schoolers, and everything was in Chinese. Even the leaders were speaking in Chinese, and it was just very difficult for us English speakers to know what was going on. How they were explaining the games in Chinese, so we didn't even know how to help with the games. And I just want to remember that because I felt like the minority. And I just want to remember that so that, you know, when somebody comes to church for the first time, or, you know, a freshman in college, or somebody, I meet somebody who doesn't speak English as their first language, so that I want to remember that so that I can help them and relate to them where they are at, and just bring them, win them to Christ by loving them in that way. Yeah. Did I have another picture? Or no?
I think so. What's the next one?
Oh, yeah. this just further explains it, because on, I think it was like the first day after we got there.
Yeah, I think it was actually. Yeah.
We walked around all of Hong Kong.
All over.
We were so tired. We had jet lag, and we were just walking all over the place. And we thought we knew where we were going, but it turned out we didn't. And so then we had to stop and ask. And we had to ask like three different groups of people before we could find somebody who spoke English. And then even the people that we did find who spoke English, their English was really broken, and so it was hard even then to figure out where we were going. So.
So you're gonna remember getting lost in Hong Kong.
Yes.
I should have gotten you that shirt then.
Yeah, that's what she doesn't want to forget, being lost in
no
Hong
doubt.
Kong. Yeah, how many of those did you find, Tim? Tim was looking for shirts all the time
when
we went around in the midst of looking or trying to get our visas. We had time. I mean, we hadn't let the system ride, so we went around town. Tommy took us all around. Tim was looking for shirts.
I was looking for shirts.
He could have bought 1,000. I'm lost in Hong Kong.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they print them for a good reason. Yeah. Well, something I never want to forget is it happens to be our very last night in Hong Kong. We finally got to be with Tin Yu and Eli and Darren Wong's parents. And Darren was there also. The Sunday after we arrived, just 2 days after we arrived, we went to the church there that Tin Yu leads. So we saw them, and I talked to Eli a little bit that morning, but, you know, it's a Sunday morning, and everybody's in a mode of we got things to do. And so we really didn't get to talk. I didn't talk to Tin Yu at all Sunday morning. And this was one of the reasons, on all of my letters that I sent out asking if anyone would like to join me and support me in going over there, I told them one of the reasons is that we have this family over there, a connection. Honestly, from 2009, I think, the first time we heard the East Asia Project, this is one reason that we thought about it. Darren is here, and we've got a connection over there. And if we could visit the family on their turf, we just thought it would be a good situation. Well, we knew on the Sunday that we were at church with them that Darren was on his own little trip around China, China and Taiwan and so forth. So we couldn't be with Darren anyway on that Sunday morning. And our phone business lacked. I mean, it's awkward. You have to go to the store, buy some minutes, put it on your phone, and try to make calls. And we had failed. Tim tried every method of communication we could think of to get a hold of Tin Yu, Eli, to just say, can we visit you? And it got down to the last day. And what was it, an email?
It was an email.
It was an email that Darren responded to, right?
Yeah.
And so we finally got a hold of them. And on the last night, we went with them to supper at their place. Yeah, this is the family. That's Nathan and Darren and Tinu and Eli. And have you seen any others yet? How many of these have you put up there? Okay, just go through a couple more, please. Okay, yeah, that is they again. Uh-huh. They have these, we kind of stole off Facebook. I didn't take all these.
Yeah, these are Facebook.
Okay. Do another one, please. Oh, that's the last one. Okay. Here's what I never want to forget about this. It was a moving evening for me. When we sat down with them, I mean, we trained successfully over to their place. We were pretty proud of ourselves. We managed a fairly intricate system. You got to get on the right one, you know, if you want to go there.
Yeah.
And this train station is directly across from the building that they live in. They met us there, and they took us up to what's called the podium, and it's like a town. This building, I didn't know if it's this building or the complex of three buildings, but there are 26,000 people in that area, mostly up. So they have the store downtown, stores downtown, I mean, on the podium. And we went to a restaurant, and this is the way I like to eat. We talked for at least a half hour before they even came to take our order.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was kind of icy, and I didn't know exactly why, but we just kind of small talked. And as the evening went on, it got more and more comfortable. We had a wonderful meal, went up to their flat on the 13th floor. They showed us all around, beautiful place, a little larger than a lot of Hong Kong places. And then we sat down longer, and they started asking of us about people that we know. Back in Ames, they asked about Mike and Maureen Stollmeyer. They asked about Tom Eastad. And we're thinking, you know these people?
Yeah.
I mean, and this was all from a visit that they had to Ames in 1985, which would have been just before Tom Eastad went to Singapore, I believe. And Mike was already ill with his Crohn's disease, and so they were asking about him. And Mike Wakamoto, they asked about all these people that we know, and it just felt like it was good for them to ask us about these people. Something happened, and the evening warmed up, in my opinion anyway. I feel much more connected with them than I did before we went, and that was one of the reasons we went. But here's what I never want to forget about them. That church that meets there at, is it the YMCA or YWCA?
YMCA.
YMCA. Is a church of maybe 20?
I might think that might be a little on the small side. I guesstimated 50.
Oh, 50? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there weren't that many there that morning, but that's probable. And here is a gentleman, Tin Yu, who's an administrator at a college in the engineering department, working full-time. His wife is also working full-time. He is the one who's leading the church. When a church is small, everybody has to wear a lot of hats they don't even feel comfortable wearing. And when you are working full-time and trying to lead a church like that, my heart goes out to someone like that. He's been doing this for 17 years. And I know just a little bit of what it is like. Back at Stormbrook, I was a full-time worker and then had youth group. And I know it's a stretch. You always feel unprepared. You always feel like, I wish I could devote a little more time to this. That's the strain that he's bearing. And I will be able to pray much more passionately for his, for the development of that flock, for his, that God would give him special insight, special ability to lead. He's a good leader, a lot better leader than I am. He's an administrator type. So that part comes natural for him, or he's gifted at it. But it's still a strain, and I will never forget to pray for him at this point.
Pretty cool deal. Now, I was so thankful that we had a chance to meet Darren. For Bob and I, that was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, reason why we even went to Hong Kong, was to see Darren and his family and see that finally came together on the very last day that we were there was really nothing short of an answer to prayer. Which, of course, God was answering a whole lot of prayers over the course of this trip. And our next question is, what is one truth that God impressed on you as a result of this trip? There was something that I was specifically asking the Lord for, and I wrote it down in my journal, and I just wanted to read it to you guys. This is the day before we left. Right? We had already traveled to Ames, spent the night with Bob's son there, and that morning I was getting some time with the Lord, and I said, okay, God, I want to go into this believing you for something. I don't want to just like, okay, whatever. But God, what do you have for me? And this is the 7th overseas mission trip I've been on. And every time I go overseas, anytime I'm on a specific mission, even here in the States, I'm always consumed with the welfare of others, other people. You know, where are they at? How are they doing? You know, can I bring Christ into their life? But yet here I am, I'm asking God this question. I'm fully anticipating some sort of revelation about the needs of the Chinese. This is what came to the top of my heart. I'm going to read this to you. It says, the pressures of a new church plant, owning a store and raising a family, especially with 3 teenagers, is taking its toll on me. I've become very frantic, impatient, serious, cold or distant, and sometimes really struggling with the lusts of the flesh. And the worst of it all is I see similar weaknesses emerging in my family. And I write, oh God, help me to be more like you. Use this mission trip to make me more like you. That's the cry of my heart. I desire to bless my wife, my kids, and my church family. And I said, then if that's my desire, then it's got to start with me. Oh God, change me during this trip. I write, it's strange for me to long for inner renewal on a mission trip overseas rather than life change among those we are reaching out to. I always want God to use me to reach other people for Christ. This time, I want God to use other people to reach me for Christ. And that was what was on my heart. And so I get into the plane. Sure, I'm going to be caring and concerned about those that God put around me. But what was at the top of my mind is, what does God want to do in my life through other people? And I started noticing something in the midst of the trip. One, I noticed how much the people in mainland China and Hong Kong don't have that I do have. Like mainland China, they don't have freedom of speech. They can't use Facebook there. I tried once. It doesn't work. It won't let you do it. They don't have, give me the next picture, they don't have freedom of religion. This is a church building that we happened upon at a university in China, in Hangzhou. You get to the doors and they're padlocked shut, chained shut. They, take me to the next picture because I don't have this all memorized. And yet, even with those lack of freedoms that I take for granted, what I saw in these Chinese at this English camp there in Hangzhou was just a happiness. And they're just downright happy people. They had a smile on their face. They enjoyed one another. You can take me to the next photo. They just seemed to enjoy life, even though they had to sleep on a board. That's Bob sleeping on a board. Okay? Bob and I were at this site only one day. And when I saw that I had to sleep on a board, I can't say I was too happy about it. I had slept on a board before, and it didn't go over well. And it didn't go over well this time either. I was there one day, and in the morning, I had aches. I didn't want to use the shower because it was all cold. I didn't even want to use the bathroom because it wasn't a bathroom, really. It lacked the toilet. And so here I am, I'm feeling greasy and tired, and I just didn't want to be happy. But all these people were happy. Next. In Hong Kong, that's where the Wangs live. That's their home. And I've got this big spread of a house and a nice backyard and even some woodland, and this is where they lived. And they kept apologizing for how small it was. Next. Yeah, they had to eat rice all the time. I mean, all the time. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. I mean, what are we having with our rice today? It was always rice. And it's like, we have such a variety here. So many options, so many choices. Maybe that's what's driving us crazy. But for them, it was rice and plus something. Give me the next slide. And there are so many restrictions. Oh, my goodness. People, this is a park, okay? You can't, I don't know what they're doing in that first one. I don't know. You can't yell. You can't throw your skateboard at people who are riding on something. You can't ride your bike. You can't play cards, and you can't let your dog go to the bathroom. I don't know. What do? You bring a cork? It's like, no, can't do that. There were restrictions everywhere. It's like, wow, and I'm being hit by all this. Next slide. And yet, Darcy was happy. I'm serious. We get to Hangzhou about, 10, 11 p.m., and we are given a very warm hug by Darcy. And, she noticeably hadn't showered in a while.
I've showered.
The hair was a little bit on the oily side. And I saw then her sleeping arrangements, this board. And I'm thinking, why is she smiling? Why isn't she like death warmed over? And then I found out why. Next slide. She had built friendships with those two Chinese girls on each end that was like none I've ever seen. In just 3 days, they had bonded, and it didn't matter what her accommodations were. She had friends that she had given her heart to. And it was the relationships that had given her quality of life, not her circumstances. Next slide. And, of course, Bob was always smiling. And, of course, when you're having to deal with all these inconveniences, the last thing you want to have around you is somebody that's happy all the time. God was speaking to me through Bob's joy that just couldn't be quenched. We got lost in Hong Kong or something, and he's running out of money. All he had very little money to buy stuff with, and he was just seemed fine. And then, of course, God blesses him with this store called the $2 store or something. Yeah. He was in heaven. And it's like, oh. And so next. But again, what I saw in the lives of the Chinese, and you can just go through the next few pictures, was a happiness, a level of contentment with their situation that here I was struggling with. Not just because I'm over in Hong Kong and it's different than the United States or in China where their freedoms are so limited. I struggle with a genuine joy and contentment here in the States. You always want more money or a better vehicle or whatever circumstance to be going better for you. And God then began to reveal a lesson to me. And began to speak to me about what it takes to have joy. A lesson of joy. I think that's what God began to speak to me about. A lesson of joy. And I knew, theologically, I knew that in Christ, I have every reason for joy. I've got forgiveness of my sins. I've got Christ in me. I've got a purpose and a reason for living. I've got the assurance of eternal life. What more do I need, really? I'm set. I knew that theologically, yet the pressures of life can so easily rob me of my joy. And worse yet, when you feel that, you turn to other things to try to fill that gap, and they're not satisfying. entertainment or whatever, or just even anger. And yet that doesn't satisfy. I might feel good at the moment, but it doesn't satisfy. And so I really felt God began to speak to me. He said, here you are, Tim, in communist China, in Hong Kong with severe limitations and restrictions, and you have more freedom, more reason to joy, for joy than they have. And look at their faces. Look at their smiles. I know, it was just a sliver of time. When you point a camera at somebody, they put a smile on, even if they're dying inside. I realize that. But I wondered to myself, what kind of perception am I giving to other people in the way I act and react to life? Am I giving them even the perception that there's joy, joy, joy down inside my heart? Or am I giving the perception, am I communicating, I'm stressed, I'm busy, I am preoccupied? What am I communicating to other people? And so after seeing Darcy and this joy in her face when it shouldn't have been there, and the Chinese people and those in Hong Kong, and then I had this person just randomly tell me that a survey was recently done of the different nations in the earth to find out which culture was the happiest. And from their conclusion was that China and North Korea had the happiest people by culture on earth. Well, you know, that survey may be skewed a little bit. I'm not sure what criteria they used or, you know, if they're a little biased in their research, but it doesn't matter. What matters is, where do I get my joy? Is it from my circumstances? Is it from my situation? Or is it from God? Is it from what God has given to me in my life? And so I've shared this with my family. When I've come back, I just decided I'm going to be a happier person. Darn it. You know, if it kills me, I'm just going to be a happier person. I'm just not going to let the things at the store or at home or here with the stage sitting over there rather than here this morning, since there was a concert last night. I'm just not going to let it rob me of my joy. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much going for me. I am set for life. And I'm letting little things steal it from me. And I think that's what God did in my life. And I'm thankful for it. It's the lesson I learned.
All right. The question was, what is one truth that God impressed on you during the time that we were in Asia? And I'm just going to share about one day Tim had a quiet time. Just one day he had a quiet time.
I had a quiet time every day, and that was powerful.
Anyway, he shared his thoughts from one of his quiet times one day, and it was about a parable in Matthew. And the application of the verse that he shared was to be that we were supposed to be going about God's work. And what is God's work? Well, God's work is to be sharing the truth, sharing God's word with other people. And his work is saving people. And our job, our role in that is to be sharing with people. We're supposed to be sharing the truth with people, sharing our quiet time verses, sharing the gospel, and just being about God's business. And then something that I thought of is a phrase that I've heard several times over. But if everybody was doing what you are doing right now, would the world get saved? And it was just kind of a kick in the butt. You can flip the slide.
Oh, that was one of my pictures. Another happy person in China. This girl was begging from us.
Oh, you got to share about that.
Sorry. Yeah, she was begging from us.
Share about
Yeah. What's his name?
This Deng Shu, isn't it?
Is that Deng Shu?
I think it is. That
guy got saved the last day he was in the States when he survived an auto accident that he realized he should have been dead because he wasn't seatbelted. It rolled into the ditch, but everybody in this little group of Chinese students lived, including himself, with just a few bruises. And he felt that that was the answer to his prayer that God would just reveal himself. And the prayers of Jim Wiebelhaus and others, that God would do something powerful. And this guy was really a happy person. I mean, he was really filled with joy. But anyway, go on. Yeah, more friends. They're happy. Everybody's happy. That's my... It was disturbing. When God's working on your life in that very area, it's just like, okay, God, I get it. But this guy, his American name is Tim. And so we've been talking on Facebook a lot, and we just really bonded there. This is at the English camp in Hong Kong. But yeah, he goes by Tim, and great guy. This was a verse that Bob shared with me that really began to open my eyes to what God was doing in my life. And I just realized I was looking at my circumstances. I was looking at all the little details rather than I was looking at the Lord. And this was a verse, this next one, this was the verse that God gave me to trust him for during this mission trip. One thing I ask of the Lord, yeah, go back, just let me finish it, and then I'll add Darcy. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. So, sorry about that, Darcy. You can get back to yours. I didn't realize all that was still up there.
Okay. So these are just some numbers that I found on the internet last night or early this morning. And I just thought that it was really sad that there's only 33% of the world's population that is considered to be Christian. And I don't know, that's less than 50%. And it, to me, it doesn't feel like if there's only 33% of the world that is saved, then are we doing our job? Are we sharing the truth? Are we sharing the gospel with others?
She wants me to talk now. Oh, no, she doesn't.
And then this is just the verse. God is commanding us to be sharing the gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now I'm really done.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one that did.
Again, our what we were responding to here is, what's one thing that got impressed on you in your time over there? And I was just reminded, I guess, of to love people is going to, it's going to cost. There's going to be a sacrifice involved with loving people. And can I see a slide once, see where I'm at here? There we go. Okay, yeah, there's one public toilet, and go on. That's really nice.
It's embarrassing.
This is a little bit more at the camp.
Yeah.
Is there another one from the camp? I don't remember. Okay. Yeah, we don't need to get into what they were like. They were pretty primitive at the camp. It was a military camp that we stayed at. And this is an airport shot. I just put it in as a reminder, you know, when you go, on this mission trip, I think we probably went through security about 10 times. And going through security is not a quick and easy thing. It's a laborious effort. You know, you go from this station. It is like being herded like cattle. The herd moves over here. Then we wait, or 16 of us or so, we all get through. Whoops, somebody didn't get through. What happened? Mm-hmm. Okay, they're investigating his aerosol can of Lysol or something. So you know, you feel kind of awkward going up. What did I forget this time? I forgot to fill out my declarations thing. How come they got through? They didn't have to do this. You know, it's just searches and interrogations. Out of Hong Kong, into Hong Kong, out of Hangzhou, into Hangzhou. You know, it's a labor. You're pulling your luggage. You hope it gets on the right place and gets back to you. You know, Darcy gave me her little suitcase, and one of the kids in our group made a little duct tape handle for me so I could just pull it. But it's got a chip in one of the wheels. and it sounds like a motor when you go across the floor. You know, I had fun with it. I don't think the rest did as much as I did. But just stuff you have to endure. 16 of us getting on buses. I think we probably made about 100 transfers between buses and trains and making connections. Every one of those, the group has to be together for, there's a commitment involved. That's part of the labor of love, of just getting to another place. Another of them, let's go through a couple more slides here. This is the first place that I stayed. I'm trying to give you size here. This is the living room, dining room. And another one, the other view, that's how you get into this. There's room to open the door, and then you would walk right into a cubicle, which is a kitchen. Next one. This is a three-room corner. It's pretty small. Go ahead. Oh, I love these. I have fun at airports. But I want to pick. I want you to think of this again, of a couple hundred people on that plane. 15 hours of sitting in one spot does not go well with me. I just don't. I cannot sleep. I tried all different angles. I even got down on my knees and put my head on the seat. That was the best. They don't like that, though. When they say put your seatbelt on, it was hard. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, I got some nice plane. That's Dragon Air, East China. Uh-huh. So the, oh, yeah, it's in our sleeping. There's my mattress. Eighth of an inch, that's another. And that's always comes to mind for me as a young believer. Our first night, I told you about this before, sleeping on a concrete floor on this retreat that we were at. Ooh, I got a taste of what this is, to be connected with other people who are about loving other people. There's a cost involved. Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have their nests. Son of Man doesn't have any place to lay his head. This is at our camp. I took this in another downpour. There were typhoons that had hit Southeast Asia, and this would just come up momentarily. Bing, there it was, just raining heavily again. Got another one of Tim in this, I think. Yeah, Tim chauffeuring people with his wonderful umbrella.
My little
across this courtyard. And next one, rooms, and these are our accommodations. They were nice. You know, it's interesting, Tim mentions that I didn't remember that you had even said that you wanted to be ministered to so much in this trip. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, probably at least 7 days, probably at least seven, Tim had a room alone. This is unusual for what we had. So God set him up. God set him up to answer that. That's good. Next. Oh, yeah, exchanging money. That was not as difficult as I imagined. The reason I was so excited about that $2 store is, you know what that means? It's about a quarter. You can buy things for a quarter. And I have used some of those back here, and people are thrilled. I got this Hong Kong fan thing, you know. I don't tell them it cost me a quarter, but do I have any more? Okay, yes, the verses. I mentioned this one. Isn't that something? When Jesus came to love people on this planet, there were times at least that he was an itinerant. I have one here of Paul also, don't I? From that's pretty big. Let's start with... yeah, five times I received lashes. We didn't receive any lashes. But he says down there, I've been on frequent journeys. It is going to take traveling for us to remain connected with our brothers and sisters across the world. It's just going to take traveling. And I just was impressed with this. There's a cost. Jet lag is, I think I'm through jet lag now. Mm-hmm. But I thought I was 2 days being back, and I wasn't. It hit me at 5:30 one night. I thought, I'm ready for bed. In dangers, yeah, dangers. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights.
Oh, yeah.
That was a sleepless night there on that bamboo mattress. I wanted to, by the end of the first evening, I really wanted to try it a second time because I found out if I would put my bottom on the pillow, It was the best of all, and I wanted to try it again. Nah, then we got moved on to another place. Okay. Yeah, and another one. Do I have another one? Another verse? This is in 1 Corinthians 13. Love, it doesn't seek its own. If you're going to love somebody, you need to put aside yourself. And it just came through again. And there's a sweetness to it. You know, to know that your life is not about you all the time. And that this is just one of those tastes, one of those costs. Do I have another one? Or is that the last one? Oh, yeah. To the weak I became weak, I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. We'll get into culture here in this next round of questions, so I won't say too much about it, but it's a big job to become all things to all men. There's quite a gap to jump, so it's a good reminder.
So how would you summarize what lesson you learned?
The lesson I learned is to love people is going to cost me. Get ready. Get ready.
We can maybe entertain one question or two. Let's say two so that people... Yes.
Was it raining in China? Is that the question? When we were there, actually, the typhoon got as far as Hangzhou. We got drenched in China.
Yeah.
But there were areas of China that are very dry, we learned, yes. I have, on my next set of slides, yes. I think I have my first picture that I've ever taken of a rice paddy. And there was water in it, and it was green. But I believe we watched on a news report that there were some rice paddies drying out, yeah.
But yeah, we got caught in a major downpour when we were visiting that university. What was the name of that university?
Something like Xinjiang.
Xinjiang in Hangzhou. And we tried our best to try to stay dry, but it was a hopeless cause. And so that day we were absolutely soaked to the skin, almost everybody, I think. Yeah. And so we did experience some pretty harsh weather.
Yeah.
Amen. One more question, if we got one. Anybody got a? Joe. Yep. Seemed like she just. Yeah.
Okay. So the first night, I really didn't like sleeping on the wood and the bamboo, but then somebody gave me the idea to get all the extra pillows from the extra rooms, and I stuck them under my bamboo mat, and then it was a little bit better, but it was still kind of hard.
Lumpy. How about the delicious rice options?
The rice was okay.
Yeah.
I was glad to get some American food.
But you really liked eggplant and bamboo. That you didn't just sleep on bamboo, you ate it too.
Yeah. The bamboo was okay. The eggplant wasn't.
And
so
they
much.
Use bamboo for construction. I'm
yeah.
serious.
Yeah.
You know, you can eat it, you can sleep on it, and you can build buildings with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
it's amazing. Yeah, see? I'm sure it was good. I'm sure it's good for you. See?
Good for you. That's
yep.
all you're...
Everybody
we
was telling
heard
us.
Good for you
everything.
So many times. Yes. Yes, we didn't sharpen our teeth on it.
No,
it was.
But it certainly is fun to make it sound that way.
Yeah.
I think we just had a few comments you guys wanted to land with something. What was it?
How has this...
What's the next question? Okay. I'm just going to let you guys deal with that, and then I'll take us to communion.
Okay. Am I on there next in slides?
No, I am.
Okay.
I think, yeah. Okay, so how has this trip changed my view of a world of people? I hardly ever think outside of Little Winnesee County, Iowa, let alone the entire state of Iowa or the whole United States. And after this trip, I now have friends on the other side of the world. And it's just been something really crazy to think about is, you know, now there's a whole world out there of people. And, you know, some of them don't even know Christ. We had to teach them about Christmas and what, this is Lucien and Catherine. And we taught them about Christmas and they didn't know, they hadn't ever heard of it. And it's just something that we take for granted here in America. It's another picture of Christmas. And then these were the girls in my small group. Susan on with the blonde wig, and then Clean with the beard, and Katrina with the ponytails, and Bunny in the hat. Bunny only lasted a day in our camp. She got homesick, and she was sick. And then, so she left on the second day, and then Susan was her cousin, and she left with her on the second day. So by the end of the week, it was just Clean and Katrina, and really formed really good bonds with those two girls. Next. And that's just a picture of us. We had to do a scavenger hunt type thing, and that's just a picture of us by some flowers. And that's another picture of us.
With Mo Yin.
Yeah, with Mo Yin. And then Lucien, she wasn't in my small group. She was in the other girl's small group. But on the last day, I had gone for a hike with her one day, but I hadn't talked to her much throughout the week. But on the last day, she had to take a picture with me.
Mm.
And she's been emailing me. She was probably the first one to email me.
Wow.
And I gave those shirts to the girls, and they really love them. before we even left the Hong Kong camp, they had taken a picture with their shirts and sent it to me. And Catherine is another girl. She wasn't in my small group either, but she was another one that had to have a picture with me. And then that's the whole group.
Yeah. It really does broaden your mind. And open your mind to the scope of the world, and when you actually know people there. I mean, you know, again, it's like intellectually I know there's people in China, but when you actually see them walking down the streets and on the sidewalk or whatever, you know, in their little bicycles or in their double-decker buses, and then you're actually seeing them, and there they are. They're real lives, real people. And like Darcy said, we now have friendships with these people. It was a couple nights ago, my phone receives Facebook updates. And one night, you know, we're going to bed. Over in Hong Kong, they're just getting up, okay? And so all of a sudden, my phone is going, bling, 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 bling. Kristen says, "What's wrong with your phone?" It's like, it's all the middle schoolers in Hong Kong. They have nothing else to do. You know, bling, as so many. But it's really fun. We have good friends now in the other side of the world.
Yeah. I wanted to, what we're working on here is how's the mission trip changed your perspective of a world of people. And what I wanted to focus on is each area is a culture. It's a complete culture. I just want to go through this. That's Tommy, by the way. Tommy was a lifesaver to Tim and me. Tommy's pointing there.
Yep.
She's telling us what bus is coming.
Yep.
Okay? If we could just go through a number of these. That's the inside of the bus. That happens to be the upper deck. This is part of that culture. Those are all what they call containers. And Hong Kong is a very commercial city. It's part of what gives them their income. Next. We looked at a bunch of these. I mean, there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of skyscrapers. And what I'm saying about this is, what we said with Tinyu and Yilai, 26,000 people there. There's 7.1 million people in this city, in Hong Kong. And they function. It's a complete system. They have a place to live. They have that transportation. I think I've got a bus. Yeah, it's pretty tight. That's a bus. He found an inch to squeeze in so that the next driver knows, oh, I can't go in there. The bus is going to come in there. They make it work. And I think I have another one with a, that's my rice paddy picture. Next. Oh, yeah. Once in a while you see one of them running around. And next. Yeah. This is in Hangzhou. You see everything. You see everything from an electric scooter to a bicycle to a car driving down the sidewalk behind you there. That's what they do. They just go. If they can go there, if there's a space, they go. And I'm trying to work with this culture. These guys, I don't know, we just happened on them in Hangzhou. Their mom was standing there, and we kind of made eye contact or something, and she knew I wanted to take a picture of them, so she let me take the picture of them. Then she asked me to get down there, and she took a picture of us. Okay, now I'm coming to a point, but I think I'll go through the slides first. Yeah, a little doll in her little attire riding. This is her culture. Go ahead. Here we were at the English camp. These are our group, Karen and Melody and Wing and Jeffrey and Fung. Go ahead. And there's Tommy again. Again, another one. Okay, they have a complete system. They've got their transportation figured out by bus, by car, by walk. I mean, not car, very, very, very few have a car, but train, and just a lot of walking. They have a place to live. They have food to eat. They know how to eat it. We were kicked out of two restaurants, not because we were obnoxious, but because we stayed more than 15 minutes. Somebody else needs to sit there.
We stayed too long, yeah.
That doesn't sit well with me. But it works for them. It works for them. It's closed in that sense. They have everything. They got their currency figured out. For somebody to get into their culture requires a bridge person. Requires somebody who's willing to be bicultural. And we found that in Esther and HJ, and Mu Yen was with us. And Dong Shu began to connect us with another culture. And what Tim was saying earlier about all these people that we have met, we don't know, but what this person may be a bridge builder, may be the next bicultural person who can connect what we have learned in the Lord, what we are learning, with their culture, and we're in only because of them. That is a lesson I don't want to forget either. A culture is a closed thing. Until you have a bridge, and we're meeting them.
Wow. Well, we have gone long enough. Mom, why don't you go ahead and start passing out the bread and the cup for communion? We're going to remember the Lord here, guys, with breaking of bread. And as Mom passes that out, something I just wanted to mention. When we went to Hong Kong and into mainland China, there were a number of reminders of American culture that I didn't want to be there. I mean, in some respects I wanted to be there, but then in others I didn't. Like McDonald's was everywhere, KFC, Burger King, I don't know what else, Dairy Queen, we saw that.
Pizza Hut. Papa John's.
Or not Papa John's, it was Pizza Hut, wasn't it?
There was a Papa John's
in
the mall.
Papa John's as well. You know, and it's like, there was a few situations where, I was asked if I wanted to go to that restaurant. And I never do. I know that when I've wanted to go to El Salvador, they'd always want to take us to an American restaurant. It's like, I don't want to bring you America. I didn't go to Hong Kong or to China to bring you America. You guys have a good thing going here. You don't need America's culture. You don't need America. You need Jesus. I've come here to bring you Christ. So don't be taking me to any American restaurants or anything like that. I mean, we did go once because I think the rice had just kind of gotten the best of us. But I just didn't want to experience American culture in Hong Kong or China. I wanted to experience the Hong Kong culture and the Chinese culture. And I wanted to bring Christ to them just like Christ was brought to me. I had my own thing going, my own life. I thought I had it figured out. And then somebody brought Christ to me. And he changed my world, mostly my worldview. I still had the same bed and the same routines of life, but I had now Christ in me. I'm not there to bring him America. I'm there to bring him Christ. And thank God that that's true for all of us, that Jesus is here for us right where we're at in the midst of our own world, our own routine. Jesus wants to be there, a part of it. He wants to be the Lord of it. As thinking, one Chinese guy over, I heard the story is that he didn't want to become a Christian because Jesus is for Americans, or Jesus is an American thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, Jesus isn't American. The guy is Israeli. He's a Jew. He's from the other side of the planet. He's in the Middle East. He's not American. And yet, there's a number of Chinese that thought that Jesus was an American thing. It's not American. It's universal. Jesus died for the world. He went to the cross. He suffered and died and rose again, that those who believe in him might be born again, might be saved of all their sins. And that's for every culture, for every people, for every race, for every language on earth. And so we're going to show a little video with some music of other random pictures from our trip. And while we do, just remember that Jesus died for the whole world, for all of us. And give thanks that you're included in that number. So go ahead and run that video, and we'll end with that.
Max Mice.
And it was supposed to be the other song.
Yeah.